Part 8. Peoples and Fatherlands. Nietzsche has little to offer by way of a political philosophy, but he is fond of comments on political matters. It's worth noting that he spent much of his life as a stateless individual. In Part 8, Peoples and Fatherlands, he offers a series of observations on the different races of Europe, on modern nationalism, and on the developments which are transforming Europe so that citizens of different countries are becoming increasingly similar. The process which is producing an increasingly homogeneous herd is very dangerous, for these modern slaves will require masters, and thus, ironically, the spread of equality and democracy is creating conditions suitable for even stronger political and spiritual tyrants. After a lengthy discussion of the German national character, Nietzsche pays a rich tribute to the Jews as a tough, masculine nation, unlike European countries which are, by comparison, made up and artificial. He sees important advantages in allowing the Jews to assimilate in Germany and recommends getting rid of the rabid anti-Semites. Nietzsche's praise of the Jews is matched by his disparagement of the English, especially English thinkers, who limit themselves to the collection of facts. Men like Darwin, Spencer, and Mill are so anchored in the painstaking and narrow world of utilitarian facts that they have no sense of the spiritual core of philosophy. The ascendancy of mediocre English ideas in Europe is an important part of modern problems. Before the end of the section, Nietzsche takes aim at the developing nationalism in Europe, an idiocy promoted by stupid politicians. The great spirits of the century, Napoleon, Goethe, Wagner, and others, all promoted a vision of Europe beyond nationalism. They may, in their old age, have taken refuge in ideas about the fatherland or Rome, but at their most creative, they were working towards a new vision.